I'm going to begin this sermon as we began the Cranhill Youth Retreat last weekend with our 6th through 12th graders, which doesn't mean that we're going to play silly mixer games which involve taking off your shoes, although that was part of what we did that first evening. But what we also did, and what I'm going to ask you to do now, is that we asked each one to take a moment to check in with yourself. That's what we called it, which simply means to honestly ask yourself, what's going on in my life right now? So I'd like to let you have your mind wander for a bit. Not something a preacher often asks you to do, right, during a sermon. And think about and feel, what's going well? What's difficult for you right now? What are places of gratitude and of pain in your life? What in the world is going on that makes you anxious or interested? What things are you wondering about in life? And as you do that, to also ask of yourself, am I remembering that God loves me? It's a simple thing to do, but it can be profound. It can get a lot percolating in you. And now that I've brought all that up in you, I'm going to ask you to just let that simmer for a bit, to let that percolate, and we'll come back to it at the end. But for now, we need to turn from checking in with ourselves to checking in with the Apostle Paul. With Paul, the Apostle Paul. It seems lately I've been drawn to delving into Paul in the lectionary, which is a bit bemusing to myself. Since I don't think it's being snide or disparaging to say that there's plenty of material from Paul that comes off as complicated or obscure or even annoying at times. But of late, what I've been appreciating about Paul is that I'll read something which at first blush sets off all those negatives of being complex and annoying and not helpful, but then I end up really appreciating what's there, what Paul has to say. And as you may be guessing already, that's the case with the passage we read today from Paul, from 1 Corinthians 9. And so what I want to go through with you is that move in myself from off-putting to appreciating and see if the same might happen for you. So I want to point out two off-putting things that Paul says that I think we have to get past in this passage, and that if we deal with those, there are some meaningful things that can emerge. And the first thing is simply that when you read this passage, it seems to be all about Paul, which is not unusual for Paul, about Paul's calling to preach the gospel and Paul's way of carrying out his calling and Paul's sense of struggle and reward and blessing in doing so. It all sounds so very particular to Paul, and along with that, Paul has a very unique role. He's a major figure looming large in the leadership of the entire early church. And none of that really sounds connected to us, does it? I don't imagine you see much of yourself in Paul's description of himself. But I want to challenge that perception that I had, and you might have too. Certainly, I agree that it does little good if we simply hear this passage as being about a famous apostle wrestling with his unique circumstances. That might be an interesting study for some or not, but it doesn't speak to our lives. But it occurs to me that we have this wonderful theology in the Reformed tradition that's called the priesthood of all believers, which has to do with saying that each person has a call from God to express the gospel, the good news, in your life. And I say it's a wonderful theology because it speaks profoundly of how God's gifts and spirit are at work in each of us in particular ways. I don't know how wonderful it sounds to you or to me, since it does insist upon each of us considering that call. And some days I'd rather not. But nevertheless, what this theology does is make listening to Paul be not all about Paul, but rather hearing through Paul the need for each of us to face the particular calling that God has given you. To realize that we are people, for better or worse, through whom God has decided to share good news. So that's the first thing. But once I've made the case for this to be not all about Paul, but about us too, then I still right away run into a problem with the language that Paul uses in this passage about what it means to share the gospel in your life. And if you were paying attention when I read from 1 Corinthians, I'd be surprised if it didn't rub you the wrong way too. Paul says that he has to win people, win more people. He goes through a whole win litany about it. And then along with that, Paul says he has to save people. Now, perhaps you are an exception to this, but I know that for many of us, the language of winning souls and making sure that people are saved has accumulated a lot of negative baggage, and often with good reason. That's true for people who are both a part of Christianity and for those who want no part of it because of that. It's the baggage of faith used as pressure and manipulation, faith that's some sort of calculation about who's in and who's out. And I'm simply going to assert that for us today, such language of winning and saving is not helpful or appropriate given our history and our culture. So with that rather sweeping claim from me, then what do we do with Paul here? Well, what helped me is that I started with the end of this passage. That's what saved Paul for me. See what I did there? This passage concludes, "I do all for the sake of the gospel so that I may share in its blessings." And that resonates with me. To connect your life to the gospel is about sharing in the blessings that it gives, the blessings of a God whose love creates life and community, whose grace restores and renews, whose gifts bring wholeness. That resonates with me. So then if I read that ending of blessing back into Paul's language of win and save, things start to change for me. If I can try to let go of all of that baggage and instead bring a sense of sharing in blessing to what Paul says, what I can start to see is that what Paul is talking about with winning people is the desire to connect all people in all circumstances to that blessing, connected to God's grace and love and gifts. This is not one team winning over another, as on Super Bowl Sunday. This is the kind of winning that is sharing gain with all. And if you'll come along with me on that idea, then it turns out that saving is the same kind of thing. That saving for Paul is the desire that no one be trapped in an outlook on life that is disconnected from such blessing. After all, I can assure you, did you notice that Paul says, "I will save"? And as a professional theologian, I can assure you that it is God who saves, not Paul. So it must be that Paul is speaking of connecting people to that shared blessing, to God's love and grace and gifts. And so I think what that ends up doing is that it can take and turn Paul's win litany in Corinthians into something for our own time. A powerful and beautiful litany that we can adapt for our lives and for our world. Try this on as your calling, our calling, to share the gospel, good news. I will become as one who feels lost with those who feel lost, that we may know we are not alone. I will become as one who doubts with those who doubt, that we may simply doubt together. I will become as one who is oppressed with the oppressed, as one who suffers discrimination with the discriminated against, as one who is abused with those who are abused, that together we may seek justice and claim God's ways of life. I will become as an immigrant to one who is an immigrant, that together we may see ourselves as sisters and brothers. I will become as one who is a conservative or a progressive, with one who is a conservative or a progressive, in order that we may see each other as children of God, loved by God. I will become as a Muslim to one who is a Muslim, that we may bless God and one another together. I will become as a nun, N-O-N-E, a nun, with one who is a nun, that together we may care about the world. I will become as one who grieves with those who grieve, as one who rejoices with those who are joyful, that we may abide in God's grace. I will become as one who hopes with those who hope, that together we may be and bring light to God's world. And I will even remember that I am an irritable person with those who irritate me, that I may try to live out the good news even then. I wonder what Paul would think of our list for today. I can wish that he would see that it understands what he was getting at, that the good news of Jesus Christ is the truth that wherever we are, whatever the circumstances are, God's grace and love and gifts are present. That doesn't make everything all better, but it does mean we have a blessing, a calling to share God's blessing with this world through our lives. We started by checking in with ourselves. And what I want to say about that is that whatever gratitude and need, whatever struggle and pain and hope and yearning you know in yourself, God becomes as those things to bring God's love and grace and gifts. And whatever of those things we meet in other people in this whole beautiful broken world, God becomes as those people, as those circumstances too, as we are called to share and meet the blessing of God's grace and love and gifts in all things. Thanks be to God. Amen.